You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Elisa Juvan. She's talking to me from Vermont. Elisa, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Elisa, we're talking in an unusual time. It's December 3rd, 2020, in the still in a raging pandemic here. What are you, or it seems all over the globe, what are you working on now at the moment? We can talk about a number of things if you're working on them in different capacities, but what's on your plate creatively at the moment?
Yeah, it's an interesting time. And also in addition to a global pandemic, I also had a baby a year ago. And so that kind of changed everything, of course. And, so I'm kind of still emerging from, I would say, a bit of an incubation phase, I suppose, both having birthed a child and also just kind of getting to grips with my new identity as a parent and my own work. So the thing that I'm actually working on at the moment is before I gave birth, I was teaching sensual movement workshops and combining that with my coaching work. And sensual movement meaning it's all kind of floor-based. It's based off of my pole dance that I was doing when I was living in Los Angeles. And I also trained in New York to get certified to teach. And it's more so to kind of make it more
certified
accessible
to teach, pole dance?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's, there's obviously a lot that you kind of do and teach without, maybe sort of learning some of the technical stuff. But, in terms of safety and, learning like proper technique, I did want to make sure I got certified. But what I've been teaching is kind of the floor work and free movement associated with pole dance. So it's more about moving from how like music moves you and how your body wants to move. So it's like I'm teaching moves and things that you can do. And it's like, we'll do like a crawl. There's a lot of like, hip circles, things like that. But it's really, I'm really trying to encourage women. And I work with women so far. I really work with women to kind of just tap into that creative expression, tap into a part of themselves that we really don't, and I say we as a kind of collective we really don't explore unless it's with someone else. And it's kind of really just a chance to play and to express sides of ourselves that we don't always express, and to also just do it in a really fun, playful, safe way rather than force someone else or for any kind of like, you have to get this move right. Like, I'm not interested in whether or not you get a move right. It's more about just expressing yourself how you choose to express it or how your body chooses to express it. And so I was teaching before, actually about a month, up till about a month until I gave birth or before I gave birth. And obviously now that I'm in Vermont, things are a little bit different in terms of kind of how open people are to kind of talk about these things and whether people show up, because I think there's a lot of fear and, or certainly there has been for me, there was a lot of fear and kind of shame and
around what doubt. Exactly? You're not talking about just because it's a pandemic. You're talking about body related issues with women specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, certainly, like coming from my own personal experience. So I've always been plus size. I've always been overweight. Never really thought of myself, and I don't still consider myself as particularly feminine. And there's obviously the whole topic we can go into on gender and gender expression. But I kind of just never thought of myself as a sexual being, if you will. And it wasn't until I started kind of taking pole dance that I was like, wait a second, like I can actually move my body in this way and feel good about myself and feel sexy. And even if I don't meet kind of the traditional beauty standards. So I'm giving just sort of a lot of background into why I'm teaching this kind of work and choosing to express myself creatively through this way. But it really kind of, by taking pole dance classes when I was taking lap dance classes as well, like and learning how to get in touch with this part of myself that I never really gotten in touch with. I've been married for 17 years, and it's like, and even, you know, kind of hearing my husband say, you know, oh, I think you're sexy or whatever, it's like, there was so much internalized kind of shame around, like, oh, I can't be this way because it makes me bad or it makes me dirty. There's a lot of shame, especially growing up religious. And
shame of our own. I mean, I relate to that also as a married heterosexual man. You know, there's shame for many of us associated with expressions of sexuality and of feeling sexy, kind of thing. You know, body shaming, but also, and I don't know what that's called, but it's kind of like desire shaming or something, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's something we don't talk about, particularly in this country. I feel like we just don't talk about sex and sexuality. Like, we can kind of joke about it, but like talking about it seriously and kind of looking at it and feeling open to expressing it and also realizing that it's just part of who we are. You know, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just part of who we are. And I feel like if there's a part of ourselves that we can't accept or we hate or feel shame about or weird about, do you know what I mean? Like you're not really truly, in my opinion, truly accepting yourself as a whole person, because there's always some parts of you, or maybe you have like an anger issue or, you know, you don't like your nose or something, like whatever these things are that we feel self-conscious about or we don't like or feel shame about. I feel like until we can really learn to accept those, we really can't fully love ourselves and kind of express who we are as a whole person. That's obviously just my opinion, but that's certainly my experience been my own personal experience, because kind of feeling the shame around like, oh, you can't be a sexual person or, you know, express yourself sexually, for the church and kind of all of that, the religious upbringing, that was definitely a part of myself that I really just denied. And it's like, oh, I don't act in this way. I don't feel this way. You know, it's like, that's just not who I am. And until I started kind of dancing in this way and moving in this way for myself, that was just a part of myself I denied. And so once I started dancing, and kind of coming to terms with like my own body image and my own feelings around sex and sexuality, I just became so much more open and more accepting of myself. And so I really just wanted to share this with other people, particularly women right now, and kind of trying to figure out how to open that up to people who identify as women as well. So I'm still answering your first question.
That's fine. No, that's fine. This is a good, great topic to explore. So how does that work now? Are you doing this through Zoom, or what can you do at this moment?
Exactly. Well, so since I gave birth, I was kind of just, I've been in my, like, you know, raising a family bubble. Apart from, I've offered a few taster sessions here and there, just partially to see if I can still move in this way and to see if I still want to move in this way and still want to do this work. But I do. And it's something that, especially now after having a baby, I feel like is even more important in terms of being in touch with my body and not kind of, and being in touch with, I would say, this aspect of myself that is not just a mother. You know, it's like, I'm more than that. I'm this whole person. And so I've been working on a virtual half-day retreat that I'll be offering in the middle of January. So obviously anyone can join from around the world, which is really cool. And so it's going to actually combine the dancing elements that I teach, but also the transformational coaching that I do as well, because they do go hand in hand, again, in my opinion. Like, I find that actually, like, I specialize in the movement piece, but it transforms lives and, you know, my life and other lives in so many ways that there are going to be coaching pieces that we can do and kind of, you know, things like goal setting or visioning.
And that's individual. So the Zoom session in January, or the session in general, is with a group, and then the coaching for those that want to do it is individually?
Well, we'll be doing exercises, so kind of experiential exercises in that Zoom retreat. And then if people obviously are interested, they could do one-on-one coaching with me as well. But I actually really, as much as I love doing one-on-one coaching, like I really get, there's so much kind of community that gets built through doing these group workshops or group retreats, that there's just an experience that you have together that is so much more powerful, or can be so much more powerful than one-on-one. And not to say that one-on-one isn't powerful, but
That's how these function, and that's how your process functions. Both the coaching and the dance, it's in a group format, which has a whole different type of support, right?
Yes. There's, and it's really important for me, I think, to be creating spaces that feel safe for groups of women, and because it becomes sort of more like a, as kind of cliched as the word is, or an overuse, I would say sisterhood, because there is just something really incredible about like dancing and other women are like cheering you on. Like it is an amazing feeling. And that could also be because I am a performer. I have an acting background. I was acting in LA before coming back to Vermont. And so maybe there is a bit of a like, you know, exhibitionist sort of side as well that comes out when I dance, but like, it is an amazing feeling like to, I honestly don't feel like you can kind of replicate that feeling of just peer support and people cheering for you when you're just moving and like living in your body and not caring what anyone says or thinks. It's just, you're moving for you. Like that is so incredible to me. And to even like be able to witness that and kind of help shape that for other people is really, it's just so incredible to me. I feel really honored to be part of that.
That is amazing. That does strike me as absolutely transformational for that to happen, because that is something we lose often. Many of us do as we get older. When my son was very small, he would make these movements and dance to songs very, very effortlessly and almost, you know, the way you're saying, without any kind of self-consciousness. But then it all comes in at some stage, you know. I feel like I should ask you also about you have a baby. It's a year old, and it's been almost all in the pandemic so far. And you know, you're talking about movement and in a way, innocence. Has your baby taught you or influenced how you're working that way?
That's a great question. I definitely feel one of the things that I definitely will say that my having a baby has taught me is patience. and to actually, kind of be more in the moment and to really be in the moment, I think. And I'm kind of finding myself doing more like deep breathing and stuff with her. And actually what's really incredible is that she's picked up on, and I don't even remember doing it, but like, you know, I think sighed heavily one day or something. And so she'll now do these like really big exhales. And we've started to use that with her when her body, or, you know, when she's a little bit kind of wild or out of control, just to kind of calm her down, calm us down. And so we'll all kind of like sit together and we'll just kind of like take a couple deep breaths together. And it's amazing to see how, and again, that's getting into our bodies instead of sort of just like, you know, this whatever energy it is. And it really just kind of grounds you in the present moment. And so I feel like that's one thing that I'm really learning from her, is that is both the parent I want to be present and be responding to her needs in that moment, but also to kind of slow down and appreciate the fact that I'm able to be with her and, you know, spending most of my time, in all honesty, raising her, but being able to do some work flexibly, you know, with teaching and coaching on the side. But I really want to be a present parent and, so whatever time I do have with her, I'm appreciating it and being with her as fully as I can, rather than trying to, you know, get my stuff done and like kind of have her on the side. And believe me, that is not a judgment on anyone. It's just more, sure, whatever time people have, I think it's just important to use that time and be fully present rather than kind of splitting your focus. So then that way, whatever time you do have with your kids, you're able to, they appreciate, they know that you're with them rather than like kind of half-assing it, if you will. And, you know, believe me, I'm guilty of it too, because, you know, there are plenty of times I look at my phone and I'm like, no, wait a second. Like, there's nothing I need to actually look at right now. It's like, I just need to be there for her and be present. And I feel like that's really one of the biggest things we can offer as parents, is just to be present with our kids, whatever time we have with them, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 10 hours, it's making sure that the time we have with them and with anyone really is giving our full attention.
Thanks so much. I think that's such a good thought to almost conclude on. I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading? I'm currently reading The Hate U Give. And I have to say, I was so excited when I learned at this kind of start of the pandemic that you can get ebooks from the library. Like, I'm definitely a purist when it comes to my books. Like, I like to have them in hand, but also having a baby, I found that reading books on my phone makes things a lot easier. So I've been taking out as many books as I can from the library virtually. And yeah, The Hate U Give, it's really, it's fantastic. It's, obviously there's a movie came out based on the book, I think last year, and I didn't even really know that much about it, but, so I didn't see the film, but then I was like, no, I actually feel like the book sounds really interesting. And I feel like it's, I don't know if you want me to talk about sort of what it's about, or just kind of give you the title. I'm not really sure what you'd like.
You can tell us a little bit what it's about. Sure. I'm always interested. Yeah.
So it is about a girl whose friend gets, so two black teens. And so the girl is the protagonist star, and her friend gets shot in front of her by a police officer. And so it goes into sort of the repercussions, obviously, of her being the witness, being interviewed by the police, them not really kind of taking her seriously. You know, her friend was a suspected drug dealer, so of course they're focusing on that, and then kind of the national attention that that comes to the case, and sort of how it's affecting her family and her struggles with like trying to speak out, but also like worried about her own safety. So it's really interesting. I'm only about halfway through because I feel like I am struggling to find the time to read at the moment, but it is really, really good. And I'm definitely recommend it. I feel like it's, especially as a white woman, I feel like it's just like, it's not an experience I can relate to, but to kind of read it in such a relatable way, I think it's really worth reading.
Elisa, thanks so much for sharing that, and thanks so much for talking with me today. There'll be links in here for anybody who wants to know more about your January sessions, but I just want to thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.